An eyewitness view now of the situation in Ukraine from an observer who never expected to be at the center of an international crisis where borders and national identities are suddenly in flux. Odessa, Ukraine's third largest city in the southwest of the country on the Black Sea, has seen the violence of eastern Ukraine on its streets. Pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian demonstrators clashed in the streets, hurling rocks and Molotov cocktails. 46 people died in the bloodshed on Friday, most as a result of a fire that broke out in a building downtown. Nikolai Petro and his family are in Odessa. He's a University of Rhode Island political science professor on a Fulbright academic scholarship. Nikolai, welcome.
Hello.
What's it like being in the middle of all this on a Fulbright? I mean, you're not a combatant, but you're certainly seeing on the streets everything that we're seeing in the headlines.
I think academics call this being a participant observer. We're inevitably caught up in the events that are occurring daily in the city, but at least for my part, and my kids are here, as it happens, also just visiting, we try not to, you know, get entangled in the worst of it.
What is your Fulbright on? Does it involve cooperation that might bridge this divide between the pro-Russian and pro-Ukrainian factions in this community that you're visiting?
It's actually a research Fulbright which is looking at the role of religion in politics. So although that issue hasn't come up a great deal, I'm at least encouraged to see that the religious figures in the country are calling everyone to take a step back and reflect on the dangers of the moment.
With that in mind, how divided is Ukraine right now? And is it on a street-by-street, house-by-house basis, as you've been able to view?
I think there are more than 20 regions, and each of those has a distinct flavor.
How does that play out right in Odessa, where you are?
For the most part, things have been calm here. And there's a regular place where the pro-government groups gather, and they gather weekly, and, you know, kind of rally support for a united Ukraine and let's give the government a chance. And about a mile and a half away from that was where there had been the anti-government demonstrators who are saying, well, what happened in Kyiv was an illegal coup, and we don't want to be subjected to their whims, and so let's have greater local autonomy and federalism. And what's been happening is that those two sides have kept to themselves and had a fairly civil discourse, but on May 2nd, things got out of hand, partly because a group of football fanatics came to town and added their weight into this mix, and then all the groups coalesced in the center and had a fight on their hands. And then from that, part of that group decided to continue that fight and take it to the groups that had gathered in the second location that were against the government. And they razed the tent city that had been there, chased the anti-government groups into the local building, and then set that building on fire. And that's how most of the people were killed.
And that's dozens, more than 40.
Yeah, for about roughly 40 people, yeah.
How curious or terrified are your own children about all this? I don't know their ages, but I'm wondering.
They're 22 and 26, so they're adults. I must say they're very interested, obviously, and they were watching YouTube and everything. I discourage them from actually trying to see things firsthand. But we live very close. We rent an apartment very close to the events that took place on May 2nd. And so when the next morning we went there, and to observe for ourselves what had been left. And I was, I must say, frankly amazed to see that they'd done an excellent cleanup job, because what the street where they were having the altercations is actually a central tourist area, and so they were very quick to clean it up. And I must say, by noon, when we went there again, the usual tourists were there, and you could really not have even known that the day before there had been all these tragic events.
As a political scientist, what ghosts are haunting this conflict from the last century, and ghosts that I suspect are even in your own family?
Well, these events do have a prehistory. In World War II, this fight between those who wanted to use the German invasion of the Soviet Union to rally on behalf of an independent Ukraine, that sort of formed one side of the global conflict, versus those who thought, well, we can't afford this right now because the Nazis are killing all of us. And so there was a division right in the middle of World War II. And those historical memories are lingering and do form a backdrop to the discourse that we have today. And so in the East and the South, people tend to not just be more sympathetic to Russia, but also to remember the history of World War II as a valiant cause in which they fought against the Nazi invaders. Whereas in the West, there tends to be much more sympathy for the cause of the Ukrainian insurgent army, which was allied with Hitler's army.
Where would your parents come down on what's going on right now if they were able to observe and argue about it?
My family would be split probably right down the middle, because my mother's German, my father's Russian, and I've grown up in Europe. And so I guess I look to all sides with a certain amount of sympathy, because I've known people on all sides of this debate.
Well, we're glad your eyes are on this conflict, and we hope to speak with you again.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.